Man, we got some good energy in here this morning. I think we've got some people visiting Hope College for the first time in here. We want to welcome you and let you know that we're praying for you as you discern your calling. Even this morning we were. Two announcements for you quick this morning. Immersion trips. There is still time to sign up for immersion trips. They are closing fast. Fellas, a note to you in the room. There are several trips that are still open for you. Why not just pull up our website and take a look and see what pops out at you? Second announcement, we are making a group for people that are trying to decide, is seminary a part of my future? Do I want to go on to graduate school to think about theology? If you want a space to dialogue with others, to ask some questions, a space to discern that call, come have dinner with us, me and Derek and Trigg and Andy McCoy. We're going to have dinner next Tuesday. If you want details, just email me. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for who you are and for all that you do. We pray that you would speak to us this morning, stir in our hearts, draw us into your presence, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Christ is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness at all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You are the light of the world. You, plural, all of you, y'all, you are the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world, and so you also are the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city with all of its hustle and bustle and all of the light that's concentrated in a city on a hill, when you put it up on a hill, you can see it for miles around. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. In the days to come, Isaiah says, the Lord's house, God's house, the place where God's presence resides, the church, in the future days, the Lord's house will be as the highest mountains. It'll be raised above the hills. It will be a city on a hill. And all the nations will stream to it. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket. That'd be foolish. If you light a lamp and you put it on a lampstand, it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. It's beautiful. Beautiful poetry. Sometimes I can just get lost in the poetry of Scripture. I let my imagination run wild as these authors wax eloquent about the kingdom of God, about the church, about the gospel. But can I tell you what confuses me a little bit? You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Okay, now fast forward a little bit. Turn over to chapter 6. But whenever you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be done in secret. And whenever you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And whenever you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. But you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. How does this work? One passage says, be a light and do things that others can see. And the other passage says, do everything in secret. Feels like rough edges to me, like two pieces of a puzzle that don't quite fit together. Sort of like Paul Boersma on Twitter. It confuses me. But the one thing that these passages have in common is that being a disciple means something is happening. For others to see, or in the privacy of your own room, being a Christian means that something is happening. There's movement here, action. Jesus calls, the disciples respond, and there's a life that follows. A loving, living, giving, praying, fasting life that follows. Being a Christian means that Jesus has changed your life in some way. It means we're running along behind him, watching where he goes, what he does, what he says, sort of like his apprentice or his shadow. I think that's the first and the most important thing to realize about this passage. Maybe it's something to ask yourself too. Have you heard Jesus call? Have you heard him call you? Have you responded? Have you the courage to get up, to run along behind him? Because there's room here. There's room here in this race, on this run, in this church, in this chapel. Come with us. Run along behind him with us. I think that's the first and most important thing to take from this passage. But second, the question that comes up for me in this space in Matthew chapter 5 is this. This life of being a Christian, is it something that should be seen by others, or is it something that's done in secret so as not to boast? I think the answer is both. Because remember, we're not just talking about one part of your life here, or one part of your day, or one part of your career. We're talking about your whole existence, right? The public, visible, corporate, up in front of everybody, but also the private, the invisible, the individual, the on your own. It's about your whole life. Even looking at the beginning of this passage, right? You are the light of the world. It's not you should be the light of the world. It's not you carry the light of the world. It's not you should try harder to be the light. Jesus looks at his disciples and he simply says, you are the light of the world. With your whole existence, good days and bad days, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So the question might not be, should we practice this faith in front of other people or by ourselves? Because of course we need to be doing both. The better question might come from the second half of this passage. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So what are these good works that people see? Where do they come from? I know that you all think about good works. There's a lot of need in this world, and I know you think about helping that need all the time because you talk to me about it all the time. Right? Over coffee, over lunch, in my office around campus, you're telling me about the health problems in the world and in our community, the wealth problems, the race problems, the education problems, the prison problems, the social problems, the neighborhood problems, the family problems, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of need in our world. A lot of places to do good works. And I know you want to be part of it because you talk to me about it all the time. But here's my question. Why? Why? Do you want to do these good works because you get something from it? Maybe a step further. Do you want to do these good works because you want to be known in a certain way? You want to be known for something? For example, I recycle because I want to be known as a person who cares about the earth. I give money because I want to be a giver. Do you do these good works because you want to be known for something? Or do you do these good things because you almost can't even help it? Because you're following Jesus, you're running along behind him as his apprentice or his shadow, because you've immersed yourself so fully in the big, good work that God does in Christ, that these other good works just sort of bubble out of your life along the way. They bubble out of the fact that you're becoming more Christ-like. I want to point us in the direction of this. Martin Luther King Jr. talks about this in a really helpful way. He notes that there's a difference between doing a loving act because you want to be a loving person and doing a loving act because you actually love something or someone. He says this in one of his sermons, "Christian love is the love of God operating in the human heart, and the greatness of this is that you love people not for your sake, not because you want to be known for something, but you love people for their sake. You love people because God loves them." You see, sin is the heart that's turned inward. It's focused on yourself, who you want to be. But salvation, true freedom, is a heart that's turned outward. And when you look outward, you don't see yourself. You see Jesus. You see others as Jesus sees them. You've got your eyes fixed on Christ as you run along behind him in his kingdom work in this world. So let your light shine before others that they would see this good work and give glory to your Father in heaven. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket. That'd be absurd. But if you put it on a lampstand, it gives light to the whole
house.
In the same way, let your light shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. Go in peace, friends.